Today we are talking about discernment. And I want to start out by just sharing with you a time when my husband and I had a huge discernment to make, and it was about a move. We lived in Anderson, Indiana. Ken was on Young Life staff there, and he came home one day from an area staff meeting and said, I was at the kitchen. I was in the kitchen working. He came up and kissed me hello and then said, today we were offered a position for me to be a regional director in Michigan. And I just looked at him and laughed because I thought he was joking. But he said, no, really, they offered me to be a regional director, and this would be meaning a move to Michigan. Well, immediately that just put anxiety and uncertainty inside me. And I don't know if any of you have experienced anything like that before or not, but I was uncomfortable immediately. Part of the reason was he said that we would be moving to Michigan to take Cliff Anderson's place because Cliff Anderson was moving to Colorado Springs. But we had lived in Anderson for 15 years. We had two sons who were both in elementary school. And they would walk to school daily through our backyard and onto the school, which I thought was very nice. We were in a church that was literally just down the road from us, and we enjoyed that church. We started out with a small group of like 4 or 5 people, and that group grew and grew and grew. So we were a large group of young families that met together, and we did things socially together, and our kids got along, and it was just a great group of fellowship. Also, we had just bought a house 2 years prior, and it was a big house in town. It was on like a 3/4 acre lot, and it was built in the 30s, so it was an older house, but it was really charming. It had a front door that was rounded on the top, just that curved front door that was painted blue, and it was a white brick house that had been painted white. They do that back in the Midwest more, but I dearly loved the house, and so did Ken. However, I have to tell you, when people came into the house, their comment wasn't, oh, what a beautiful place. Their comment was, this place has a lot of potential. So it indeed was old, and we just had lots of dreams of how we were going to make it work for us over the years. And we had just been there for 2 years. I had good friends, and the Young Life ministry was also going well. So when he brought this up to me, it was like, well, this just brought a ton of anxiety to me, and I thought, how could God want us to be leaving here when everything was so good right now? And I didn't know how we were going to discern God's leading in this because I thought I already had that figured out. So maybe you've had times like that in your life, or maybe you're in a time right now where you're in the midst of discerning something, some change in your life. But in this chapter on discernment, Kierke tells us that Jesus walked in peace with a clear sense of his Father's purpose and direction. And wouldn't you love to be able to say anytime, I walk in peace with a clear sense of my Father's purpose and direction? Jesus knew what his priorities were simply because he spent a lot of time with his Father alone, listening and talking with his Father. So as we talk about discernment today, we're going to use the definition of just simply recognizing the voice and the patterns of God's direction in our lives. And in the midst of that, it's being able to sort out the voice of God's Spirit from our voices and from other voices around us. So over the years, I have heard a lot of illustrations about recognizing God's voice and direction in my life, and I'm guessing some of you are familiar with some of these illustrations too. But those have kind of turned into misconceptions for me over the years, so I'd like to share those with you. First of all, one is an archery target, and we've got a picture of that. But have you ever heard the phrase of being in the center of God's will? In the center of God's will would be like an archery target with that little concentric circles, and the little circle right there in the middle is God's perfect will for us. And It's all up to us to hit that bullseye every time with every decision we make in our lives and every choice we make in our lives. And that if we don't line things up perfectly, then we definitely aren't in the center of God's will. Because the next circle out is okay plans, and then the furthest circle out is not so good plans. So we are always aiming for the center of God's will there. And by doing that, without realizing it, we often take it upon ourselves to trust our own decision-making skills and our own knowledge of any situation that we're in the middle of. And we pretty much take our eyes off Jesus because we're so consumed with hitting that little inner circle all the time. But you know, God is so much more interested in our lives and in our character and what we are becoming rather than us always getting it right every time. Another misconception that I've run into is that it's common for some of us to think of God's plan for us as a blueprint that we have to follow. Now, in a blueprint, and doesn't that just look complicated? You have to have the right training and skills to read that. But in a building project, a blueprint has to be followed exactly, or else the building will be unsafe and unstable. And I think some of us tend to think about our lives as following a blueprint, and again, we have to do it just right, or we mess things up. So we analyze the decisions we make, and we worry about getting it wrong, and especially because you can't go back and build a building over again. We've got to get it right the first time, and it often leaves us with regrets because we know we can't go back and build it over. But once again, God is much more interested in our getting to know Him better personally, getting to understand His faithfulness, especially understanding His forgiveness. And because if we do think of our lives as a blueprint, we need to understand His redeeming in our lives and how He redeems everything we do in every part of our lives. Well, a third way that we have sometimes of looking at our lives is as a treasure map. That God's leading in our lives is like finding God's hidden clues along the way. That He hides these little clues that we have to find in order to discern where we need to be. And we're always left guessing and hunting for those clues. And James 1:5 says, if you don't know what you're doing, pray to the Father. He loves to help. God doesn't want to leave us guessing. We just simply need to ask God for wisdom, and He wants to give us knowledge and discernment, and we don't have to figure it out on our own. God is like a loving parent who loves to give us good things. And if any of us have ever been responsible for children, then we know that we tell them what we expect of them, and we guide them, and we don't hold severe consequences over their heads if they happen to guess wrong. Because it just causes confusion. And God doesn't do that to us either. Because God is a loving Father. And He loves us perfectly. But we must have a relationship with Him where we take time to listen to Him as our Father. So if you fit into any of these ways, if you've ever looked at God's leading in any of these ways, I would like to give you a new picture today for you to consider. And that is, in contrast to an archery target, a blueprint, and a treasure map, I'd like to give you the picture of a field, a growing, alive, green, wonderful, beautiful field, maybe even full of color and wildflowers, with blue sky as far as you can see in any direction. And Jesus is saying, this is all yours. You are free, and I'm right here with you. And we can run free through this field knowing that God is in control and He's there to direct us. And it's so freeing. It's not binding. It's not hitting a little target or following a narrow little path. But He wants us to walk close with Him, hand in hand, and He wants us to have an alive, active, growing relationship with Him, just like a field. And He wants us to just be thrilled that He's faithful to us, that He's forgiving, and He has abundant love for us. So picture yourself a happy child running around in a field like this, but you might dash off a little too far in the wrong way or head off in the wrong direction. And what happens then? Well, your dad is right there to catch you, and your dad lifts you up in the air and turns you around and puts you back down right in the middle of the field where you belong. And He's not there to punish you. He's there to just correct you and move you into the right place. And whenever God brings us back from a wrong direction, there's almost a sense of adventure about it and tenderness toward ourselves, because we are learning that we are a loved sinner, emphasis on loved, that we're not full of guilt and punishing ourselves, but when God brings us back, it's a sense of tenderness toward ourselves and recognizing what a loved sinner that we are. There's not fear and confusion. So if we don't follow a blueprint or a treasure map or aim for an archery target, how do we discern God's will in our lives? Well, God draws us in particular directions every day of our lives. And God has longings for your life and for my life. Have you ever been drawn to write a note to a friend or make a phone call, and you went ahead and followed through on that, and then you found out that that's just what that person needed? They loved that note they got in the mail, and that phone call was so uplifting. Well, that was God drawing you to do that, and you followed that. And that's one way of God has of leading us. And also, He may have longings in your life, longings for your life, to use your time in a different way. And we need to listen to Him and discern that. Or to perhaps pick up an old friendship that we've kind of left out in the cold for a while. Just longings in different ways for your life. But whatever that longing is, or whatever that discernment is that you feel drawn toward, we want to lead our lives with a yes response to any discernment of leading or guiding that we receive from God. So anything, any little nudging that you're receiving, any little way you feel God is directing you, we want to say yes to that and live our lives that way with a yes response. We simply ask God for wisdom and knowledge, and He gives it to us. But He does this usually through His Holy Spirit. One of the ways the Holy Spirit has of leading us is that the Holy Spirit simply assures us of God's love for us, God's good intentions for us, and He really shows us who God is. To really discern God's leading in our lives, we must be assured of God's love for us and that He wants the best for us and that He wants our deepest good, not our surface good, our deepest good. He doesn't want what's going to make us miserable or be painful for us. But maybe He doesn't want what is going to be the most comfortable for us either all the time. But if we do fear God's intentions toward us or doubt His goodness toward us, it'll definitely affect our ability to listen and discern what He has for us. We won't trust Him and we'll be afraid of what He has for us. I don't know about you, but I'm thinking I would get a lot of hands if I asked for a show of hands. How many of you have ever thought, if I really trust God, if I really just surrender to God and ask God to do what He wants to, I'm headed for Africa? Have you ever thought of that? Because I know I have. It's just one of those fears that is in us. I know that if I ask God what He wants for my life, I'm going to Africa. And that happens. We think that if it's something that we don't want to do, then surely that's what God's going to have us do. And He wants us to sacrifice, so it's going to be hard and uncomfortable. And it's often our mindset when we come to trusting God. But we really need to trust God for His deepest good for us. And we may even need to express our fears of trusting God, to just simply say, hey, I don't trust You. I'm afraid of this, but I want to trust You. And God honors our want to just be able to say that to Him. God spoke through Jeremiah to the exiles in Babylon. Now, these people were people whose temple in Jerusalem had been destroyed. And the temple was their center of life. They were religious people. They went to the temple. It was just their center of life. The temple was also their history. Generations. The temple was so important to these people. And it had been destroyed. And now they were being carried off to exile to Babylon, carried off to a foreign culture, people they didn't know, an unfamiliar way of culture. People all around them were pagans. How uncomfortable this was for them. How could this be God being good to them? And on top of that, God said to them through Jeremiah, hey, you're going to be staying a while in exile. And I'm going to tell you how to settle in to this exile that I'm letting happen to you. They must have said, are you serious? Is this what God's saying to us, Jeremiah? And Jeremiah said, yes. God is saying, yes, trust me. My plans are to take care of you, even in exile, not to abandon you. My plans are to give you a future and a hope. And you and I, too, sometimes we have to settle in. God is asking us to settle in to a situation that we can hardly believe that this is what God wants for us. This can't be that God has his hand in this. But God is asking for us to settle in. And we are saying, this isn't turning out the way I wanted to. I wanted it to, and this is not feeling good. But God tells us, hey, my plans are to take care of you, not abandon you. My plans are to give you a future and a hope. So the Holy Spirit assures us of God's goodness. It's part of his job. And that's one way that God directs our steps for us to trust in God's goodness. Well, the Holy Spirit also uses truth to direct us because he is the Spirit of truth. John 16:13 says, the Spirit of truth will take you by the hand. I love that image. The Spirit of truth takes you by the hand and guides you into all the truth there is. And we do need the Spirit of truth to take us by our hand and show us. Because sometimes our desires and our choices come from impure motives instead of really coming from God, and we don't realize it. I think all of us here at some point or another can understand when I say we crave comfort and we crave contentment. And we crave success or position. And we crave people's good opinions of us. And sometimes we're blind to how much we crave these things and how attached we are to these things. They can get in the way of us discerning and hearing God's voice in our lives because we're hanging on so tight to these other things. And that's when we need the Holy Spirit to take us by the hand and to show us. Show us where we're not looking at ourselves honestly, where what we're really after is comfort or ease, or where we're maybe rationalizing and what it's really all about is how successful we're going to be or not going to be, or maybe what's influencing us that we don't even realize, like our fear of what are other people going to think about this. And we can so easily tell ourselves that God wants only my happiness. God wants only my peace. And God is concerned about our peace and our contentment. But again, he's concerned about so much more than that because he's concerned about who we're becoming and our love for him more than just our shallow happiness. We hold on tightly to our idea of good. And back to my story about the possible move to Michigan, I simply said no. I don't want to go to Michigan. I'm like I told you earlier, I'm a warm weather person at heart, and I'm thinking, we're in central Indiana. Why would I want to move north to Michigan? Not interested. And everything about our life as we knew it was so good. Why would we want to leave all this good? Our kids have Christian friends. We have a wonderful group of friends, our church, the ministry. It's all so good. And what I really needed was to have the Holy Spirit help me open my hands and recognize I'm craving this comfort and this Eve and all these perfect situations that we've got going in our life right now. Well, the Holy Spirit also uses just simply who we are to reveal God's will to us. Our hearts reveal who we are. And in Psalm 37:4, it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of our heart, of your heart. If we delight ourselves in the Lord, and that simply means that if we abide with him, keep company with him, if we are open with him and sensitive to his spirit, and if we are willing to yield in obedience to him, that he gives us what our hearts are desiring for. And he does this because he puts those desires in our hearts in the first place. So we can trust those desires. And I love in our reading today that Kirky has included what Watchman Nee said, that not only will God give our hearts the desires or passions that he wants our hearts to have, but he gives our hearts the burdens that he wants them to have too. The burdens and the passions of our hearts can be a way that God has of revealing his will or his way for us. And our heart's desires can also just be tiny little inclinations that we need to pay attention to. It doesn't have to be these huge passions and dreams, but it can just be small little interests. Last week, Geraldine told us the story about parents that prayed for their son. And they felt in their hearts inclined to pray that God would just be in his face. And if you didn't hear that story last week, ask someone at your table. And at first that sounds harsh. But it was just like God to put that butterfly in that boy's face. And they followed what their heart's desire was because God had put that desire in their heart to pray for their son in that way. Well, I had a desire, a heart's desire, several years ago. I was interested in being trained to be a spiritual director. And now, some of you may not be familiar with that term, spiritual director, spiritual direction, but it has a long history in church history. And a spiritual director is simply a person with whom you would meet once a month or once every couple weeks. And this person just helps you to discern where God is working in your life and what God is doing in your life. And so I had a real desire to offer this to people and to sit with people and offer this to them. And I prayed about it, and I heard about a program. And I called in August to see about enrolling in this program and talked to Sister Suzanne. And Sister Suzanne, we talked about it a little bit, and she said, you know, the deadline for this was in April, and you've missed the deadline. But we do this every 2 years because it's a two-year training session. So come back in 2 years, and you can be a part of that class. So I thought, okay, well, that's just the way it is. I need to move on and see what else to consider here. But after I had talked to her and continued to pray about it, I just continued to have this strong feeling. I want, really desire to be in this program. And I felt led to call her back. And I put it off, but I really felt led to call Sister Suzanne back. I finally did. I remember standing in the bedroom, a little nervous about it, but I called her back and said, you know, I don't know why I'm calling you. And I'm not asking you to change your policy or make any exceptions for me, but I just need to tell you this. My heart really still has a strong desire to be in the spiritual direction program. And now that I've said it, maybe I'll have some peace about it. Thank you for listening. And that was the end of the phone conversation. Well, Sister Suzanne called me back a while later and said, could you get to us your college transcript? And could you line up whatever it was, 3 or 6 references, other people? And I'm going to send you an application, and could you fill that out and do the paper that is required for you to do and send this all back in to us? So I said, oh, sure. So I did that, sent it in. She called back and said, would you be here for an interview? We would like to interview you. Sure. So I went back in, and I was interviewed by Sister Suzanne, Sister Charlotte, and Sister Carol. And at the end of the interview, they said, would you be here tomorrow morning to start this class? And we would like for you to be in it. We've had a cancellation, and we really would like to include you. So God does put desires on our hearts, and that is his way of showing us what he wants for us. And I would just encourage you to pray that God would move you to follow through on any desire that he might be putting on your heart right now. Well, God uses other people, and God uses his word also to lead and guide us, again, through the Holy Spirit. He uses God's word to light our path, and especially in Psalm 119, the psalm, the long psalm, that talks a lot about God's word. In verses 105 and 130, it talks about the word literally lighting our path, showing us, giving us discernment. So I would say to you, as a spiritual director, that as you read scripture, pay attention to what lights up for you. How is God lighting your path through scripture? What lights up for you? And also, if it lights up for you, stick with it. Don't turn the page in your devotional book the next day. Read it for a week or read it for a month. Just read it and read it as long as God is speaking to you through this portion of Scripture, and listen to what He has to say and pay attention to what is lighting up for you. Because God isn't in a hurry like we are, and He reveals to us gradually. And so we need to stick with things and pay attention to what's in Scripture. And also, something that I probably don't have to tell any of you, but that Scripture and what God is asking you to do is going to line up. It's going to mesh. So if you're feeling led to do something that's against your integrity or against respect for other people, for example, then that's not going to be what God's calling you to do, because that would not line up with Scripture. And as we've all probably experienced, God also uses other people in our lives to help us make discernments. One of the people I talked to was our pastor's wife back in Indiana when we were thinking about this move. We were in a United Methodist church, and the United Methodist church moved their pastors around, oh man, it seemed like every few years. So this woman had made a lot of moves in her life, and I knew that she was a good person to go and talk with. Well, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit directing our steps, and we know that the Holy Spirit is our counselor and our guide. And just a few scriptures that I have written down here is Romans 8:14 says that with Christ living in us, we are led by the Holy Spirit. In John 10:3-4, we see that Jesus calls us by name, He leads us, and He even goes ahead of us. In Galatians 5:25, we're told to live by the Spirit and keep in step with the Spirit. And in Proverbs 20:24, we are told that the Holy Spirit directs our steps. And we just simply must be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, listen for His nudgings and His voice. God doesn't lay out this huge blueprint plan for our lives years and years ahead, but instead He wants us to take one little step with the Holy Spirit, doing one little thing at a time. And it might be a hesitant step, but one step, because the Holy Spirit leads us step by step, one step at a time. And our job is to simply have our hearts open to what God wants for us. That doesn't sound like a lot, but it is a lot. And sometimes that's hard to do. We want to wait and we want to listen. And we remember that Jesus took lots of time to listen. In Scripture, we read over and over that He drew away. He went to a lonely place. He got away from the crowds in order to just be with His Father and listen. So go with Jesus to the Garden of Gethsemane. He knew He needed to be alone and listen to His Father, and He spent all night doing that, grappling with what God's will was for Him. And He was able to say, "Not my will, but Your will be done." So be free to tell God what you think and what you want to do, but also come to the place where you can really say to God, "Not my will, but Yours. I want what You want more than I want what I want." And I just copied a prayer out of a book by Richard Foster. This is a prayer of relinquishment, something to just kind of put in the back of your mind. Oh, Lord, how do I let go when I'm so unsure of things? I'm unsure of Your will. I'm unsure of myself. But that really isn't the problem at all. The truth of the matter is, I hate the very idea of letting go. I want to be in control. I need to be in control. I'm afraid to give up control, afraid of what might happen. Heal my fear, Lord. And how good of You to reveal my blind spots, even in the midst of my stumbling attempts to pray. Thank You. But now what do I do? How do I give up control? Jesus, please teach me. Amen. So I would just say, as you think about something that you are discerning in your life right now, take that prayer and let Him apply that to the specifics of whatever it is for you. Well, in our moving decision, I had a very wise husband, as I found out in our small group that several of us have wise husbands. He was wise in that he let this whole moving decision, he gave it time to simmer in me. Just time to simmer, time for me to pray about it, time for me to talk to other people about it, time for me to open my hands gradually. And it wasn't until I was really able to let go of what I wanted, all this good stuff around me, and say, you know, okay, I'll listen to you. And you might have something better for us. That I was able to let go of that. That's when I could hear God's voice saying, let's move to Michigan. And I'm going with you. And I won't abandon you. And in our moving decision, when we left Indiana, I will have to say it was sad. I didn't have total, like, letting go of our time there in Indiana. My feelings about loving it there didn't change. But there was another deeper feeling underneath that was a for sure, this is right. This is what I sense. This is what we are to do. It was a peace down deep. And when we moved there, we didn't have a house. We had a house that had less potential, but it was already in better shape. But it was a lot smaller and just didn't have the warmth. It wasn't a house we loved as much. The boys rode a bus to school, a long bus ride, which was difficult. And a lot of days I didn't appreciate the kind of words they came home with or new ideas, you know, that they learned on the bus. And it wasn't an easy transition for them. And we didn't find a great church right away where we felt welcomed and had that instant fellowship. But other than all that, the Lord really had greater good for us. He built our character. I was alone for a while without knowing people. He moved me closer to Him. Our character was built. We drew together as a family because we were all that we knew. And He just gave us a deeper knowledge of the way He works, a knowledge of how patient He was in this whole process, just learning of God's patience, just a greater good for us. Well, in the midst of all that, I have got some steps here that I'd like to share with you. Just some steps to apply on a regular, everyday basis. It's pretty much kind of what I've already spoken about. But this is just discernment in God's, in our lives of what God is drawing us. And it might be an everyday discernment of writing that note or making that phone call. It might be a class that God is calling us to take or a friend that God wants us to talk with. Or it could be a bigger decision for ourselves, or even decision for parents that we have, or decision for kids that we have. Decisions that affect other people also. But the first one is to worship God. And worship brings us to being assured of God's love and goodness and faithfulness. It brings us to being assured that He's on our side and that He has good intentions toward us. So when we worship God for being faithful, and for having abundant love, and for having all knowledge about our situation, we can't help but be assured that He loves us and is going to be faithful to us. The second thing is confession. Check out your motives. Name your motives with which you think might not be pure. What do you crave or what are you attached to? Could it be success or power? Or maybe impulsive decision-making, security, idols, you name it. It could be a lot of things. And you will understand better how these affect your discerning and your listening to God, how they get in the way. And that you will be better able to surrender these to God if you just take time to really evaluate what those are. And then come to the point where you can say, not my will, but yours. And if you can't say that, then tell God that you desire to pray that. I can't say that right now, but I really want to. I really want to be able to pray that. The third one is simply acknowledge and give thanks for the Holy Spirit, acknowledging that the Holy Spirit is our guide and our counselor, and that the Holy Spirit wants to reveal God's leading for us. The fourth one is to just talk to God about your day. Lay your day out before Him. What are you going to be doing today? What's going on in your life? Or it might be a decision that you're in the midst of making. Write your thoughts out about that decision. And in the midst of that, do you sense any desires that God has put on your heart or any burdens? Pay attention to those if you do. Write them down. Talk to God about them. We need to use both our minds and our hearts for making decisions. So as far as your mind goes, it's always good to write out the pro and con list, advantages and disadvantages, benefits or dangers of any given situation, any given decision that you are making. And then also your heart. Use your heart. Listen to your feelings. Imagine your way through each scenario. What's it feel like? Picture yourself in that situation. What's it feel like to be there? Does it bring excitement or does it bring confusion to you? But go there and imagine yourself there. Number five is to ask the counsel of a godly person. Be in the counsel of a godly person. You could ask that person questions such as, hey, do you think I'm being open to this decision I'm trying to make? Am I open to God? Can you see me running away from anything as I'm trying to discern what God is doing and where He's leading? Am I willing to wait on God, or do you see me being impulsive and in a hurry? These are good questions to ask of a godly person in your life. And then last, number six, is offer your choice to God. Pray for the wisdom and the freedom. Ask for confirmation. Notice any feelings of assurance or anxiousness, and wait for your heart and your mind and your spirit to all come together and see what that produces. Well, in closing, it's been really helpful for me to picture a field to run in. And I hope that that's helpful for you too. We've talked about the blueprint, archery, target, and the treasure map. And they all have goals. Hitting the goal, following the blueprint, following the narrow path. But what distinguishes a field is that it's alive and growing. It's full of life. And our goal in a field is to simply have a live, growing relationship running through that field with Christ. Every day, enjoying Him, loving His faithfulness, His forgiveness, and deepening our relationship. So let the Spirit of Truth take you by the hand. The Spirit of Truth will assure you of God's good intentions toward you. And God will give your heart the passions that He desires it to have. And He'll also cause Scripture to light up for you and light your path. And all He asks us to do is open our hands just to let go and to say, not your will, not my will, but yours. And we need to fix our eyes on Jesus. Let Him direct our steps one step at a time. We just simply want to walk with Jesus in peace. Whoa, that's really dark. Walk with Jesus in peace with a clear sense of our Father's purpose and direction. Thanks.